From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. As generations of people and even civilizations come and go, it's a mere geologic second for the visible stars in our skyscape. What we see today hasn't changed much from the time of the ancient Greeks, and we still use the names they gave to identify constellations and map the night sky. In this week's encore essay from News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams, she considers our human fascination with celestial bodies and perhaps how other cultures throughout the ages have interpreted the stars.
They were there when the underwater bones of our peninsula were still fused with Africa's. They were there when it finally emerged from its warm saline bath. They were there when fleeced elephants and tiny camels roamed the newly dry land. And unlike Florida and the other ever-shifting features on the Earth's face, the stars above it have hardly changed at all, at least in human history. If you took what the Greeks did, you could overlay one of their constellation maps on one of ours, and it would be perfectly usable, an astronomer once told me. We're even still using most of the names the Greeks gave the constellations. That ancient impulse to label and name, to impose our own meanings on random patterns, strikes me as quintessentially human, both revealing and defying our vulnerability in the midst of an incomprehensible universe. Naming is the first step toward understanding, then control. Yet while the stars stay the same, our names for them change from era to era and civilization to civilization. What we see as Orion the Hunter, the Iroquois saw as Chief Long Sash, and South Americans as a turtle. The Chinese thought the Big Dipper was an imperial chariot. For some civilizations, the darkness was as meaningful as the light. The Australian Aborigines, for example, named the spaces between the stars. My astronomer pal even told me the Egyptians had one they called the pregnant hippopotamus. But I hadn't verified that one, she told me, and we both had a good laugh. If there's a pregnant hippo in the sky, I certainly wanted to see it, at least so I could point it out to my kids. So I did a little research. It turns out she was talking about the goddess Tauret. And to the Egyptians, she was nothing to snicker at. Tauret was the Great One, a mother goddess who protected women during pregnancy and birth. For the ancient Egyptians, childbearing was an act of great risk. Mothers often died giving birth, as did their babies. Scientists have estimated that as many as 7 of every 10 ancient Egyptian babies born didn't survive their first year. Tauret, part hippo, part lion, part crocodile, offered protection against these dangers, though unmistakably in the late stages of pregnancy herself, she stands tall on the firmly planted legs of a lion, a muscular crocodile's tail curving behind her, hippo mouth open in a half smile, revealing formidable teeth. Mothers who called on Tauret for aid benefited from the 3-in-1 strength of all the animals she embodied. Women of means could afford to wear a Tauret amulet or keep her statue around the house, but even those who couldn't own her image could always find her in the night sky. The stars that make up what we call the Little Dipper trace her back. The Dipper's cup is her swollen belly. The North Star is her head. Unlike other constellations that move seasonally and can hide below Florida's horizon, the Little Dipper, Tauret, and her crowning star are always there. Just look about 25 degrees up. And I've shown her to my children, too, remembering that the stories of the stars change, the earth under them shifts, but the hope we humans see in them remains.